John 17, Luke chapter 11, and verse number 1. Luke chapter 11, verse number 1. It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, that he, there's Jesus, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Then we'll go to, John chapter 17 tonight, and try to conclude the message entitled, Lord, Teach Us to Pray, at least the first. I don't know if this will be a series of messages or not, but at least the first in the series, if it is, just however the Lord leads. We're going to pick up tonight. We've looked at the several elements in this prayer, the element of peace, the element of power, the element of priority, the element of possession. I'm glad I belong to him, aren't you? The element of his presence, and it's wonderful to be able to sense the Lord's presence as we pray, and then the element of purpose. That's where we finished up on Sunday night. I just have two more things I want to look at here in John chapter 17 tonight. We'll do our best to get right out of the way. We'll have our business meeting, and I appreciate everything the Lord's doing. The Bible said, if you look at it with me in verse number 20, we'll start reading in verse number 20. The Bible said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So according to that, we tonight that know Christ as our Savior, he was praying for us here in this prayer. And his prayer, he's telling us now what he's praying for. And he says that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I am in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. I just picked up on something there. You know, we have a hard time sometimes, or some people do, accepting the idea of the Trinity, the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Well, Jesus is here on earth. He's praying to the Father in heaven, right? But what did he say? Did he say that they all may be two as we are two? That's not what he said, is it? That they all may be one. And think about this. The body, the Word of God said, is made up of many members. And yet, it's one body, talking about the church, the body of Christ. And so tonight we see the deity given to us here in this verse of Scripture. And the Bible said in the glory, verse 22, which thou gavest me, have I given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. If correctly read, that's John 17, verse 20, down through verse 26. Pray with me a moment. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to stand. Lord, once again, with an open Bible, an open heart, and I pray, God, tonight you'd fill our hearts as we open them to you this evening. Lord, I can't get over the disciples, Lord, just when they hung around where you were praying, just coming out with a request, Lord, teach us to pray. I pray, dear Father, tonight that Lord, regardless of where we are in our Christian experience on this journey, that we would all realize, our Lord, that, Lord, you're still wanting to teach us. Lord, you're still working on us to make us what we ought to be. Lord, I pray tonight that even in this generation, where, as Brother Steve said, so many people are at one another's throats, that somebody will be going to the throne. Somebody, Lord, will be a prayer warrior, because, Lord, truly, that's what we need. I ask you, Father, tonight to speak to our hearts. God will give you glory, because, Lord, you're worthy. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We looked at those elements tonight, and I won't go back through and name them again, but there's two more that I want to look at tonight. The first one I want to look at is found starting in verse number 20, when he said, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one." I want us to look at an element tonight that I said or called is precious, an element that is precious. And I hope before I get done with this part right here that you'll understand why I say that tonight. I wonder tonight, and I'll use Brother Steve because he was up here talking about people shoving one another and shouting at one another, and our law enforcement, it just seems like now once or twice a week there's another law enforcement officer shot, and some of them losing their lives, the disrespect for authority in our world. But I wonder tonight, if Brother Steve and I, I'm using him as an example, we were at odds with each other, and we both have Christ in our hearts, and we both know Jesus in the free pardon of sin. I wonder tonight how long, Brother Steve, you and I could be at odds with each other if Jesus knelt between us and began to pray for us, that they be one, even as we are one. I wonder when he laid his hands up on the altar and we looked down and saw the nail-pierced hands. I wonder how long you and I could remain, Brother Steve, at odds. I don't think we could very long, do you? I really don't. I believe we'd be looking at one another and saying, "I'm sorry," and looking at the man that's praying for us and saying, "I'm sorry." And I believe we'd experience a healing. Well, you know, I believe tonight that what would be better than that would be to receive the prayer of the Lord Jesus. Look at this element that's precious tonight and just not be at odds with one another. Amen. To realize that Jesus is praying for us to be one. Now you say, "Preacher, that's tough." Well, I'm going to tell you something. He went further than that. He said, "Father, as you and I are one." Can I just say this? You don't get any closer than that. Amen. And I know this tonight, and I think you know this tonight, but many times God's people are closer to the body of Christ, the family of God that God has put them in, than they are to their own birthright family because of that bond that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. That bond that we have through this precious Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to see tonight some things here. I'm well aware that I've been over this scripture before, but I'm looking at it now in the light of Lord teach us to pray. I believe, you know, if I have someone, you know, the devil would like for us to think if we were at odds with one another, and that. You're my enemy, Brother Steve, but really the enemy's behind the scene. My brother cannot be my enemy, but let's say he was. What did the Bible say? It said, pray for your enemy. What did the Bible say? Pray for them that despitefully use you. What did the Bible say? Pray for them that persecute you. I believe if we begin to do that, beloved, listen, it ain't going to be long, and Jesus' prayer is going to get answered. We're going to be one as they are one. I want us to look at some things tonight. It seems like a request that's worthy to examine tonight.
I believe it would be a good, listen, Brother David, if Jesus prayed for this, would it be all right for me and you in the morning when we pray to pray for this? God, would you help us down at Bible Way to be one? Amen. Would that be all right? If Jesus prayed for this before you and I were ever born, but he's praying for us. He said, I'm not praying for these alone, but for all them who through these should believe. I believe if we're praying for this, then we'd want to work at it. We would be less apt, amen, for old Slewfoot to get in the middle of things, don't you? And I don't know of one thing that's going on. Don't get me wrong there. I just believe that the Bible will head a lot of things off at the pass, amen, and pray that we'll be one. Now, look in verse number 11. The Bible said, I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. The reason I backed up to verse number 11 is because if you take verse number 11 and the text that I read tonight, five times in this prayer, five distinct times, Jesus said that they may be one. He said that in verse number 11. If you look in verse number 21, that they all may be one. And then he said that they also may be one in us in verse 21, that they may be one in verse 22, and that they may be perfect in one in verse 23. You say, preacher, I don't know why you're bringing that out, because I'll tell you why. I believe the only way that God's people will ever be one is by the grace of God. Five times Jesus, that's the number of grace, five times Jesus said that they may be one, that they may be one, that they may be one. I'll be honest with you tonight. I've been praying for a brother up in Chilhowie area of Virginia. And I pray that someday, somehow, some way, God will make us one again the way we used to be. I'm going to tell you something. I don't have any control, but I'm praying for that. I'm praying for that. God knows my heart tonight. I even had a dream one night. You want to have a dream? I'm not talking about a nightmare. I had a dream about reconciliation. And I'm telling you, beloved, it's a beautiful thing. Amen. This thing of being one, it's beautiful. And God wants his people to be one. Now, I want to give you some things that I hope will stir your heart tonight. Why? Why should we worry about that? Well, Jesus is praying for it. And it's an element of prayer that's precious, striving to be one. But let me give you this first of all, because of who lives in us. Look in verse 21. He said, as thou, Father, art in me. But in verse number 23, he said, I in them, and thou in me. You know, I believe that ought to stir us up tonight. We ought to be one because of who lives in us. You know, it's one thing, Brother Ralph, and I love the choir, don't get me wrong, but it's one thing to get in the choir and sing He Lives, and it's another thing to live a life that says to a lost and dying world, He lives. It's another thing, beloved, to desire in our heart that God desires for our lives. We ought to be one because of Him that lives in us. The second reason we ought to be one, look at verse 21 again, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Watch this now. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. I love the way the Lord giveth to me. We ought to be one because of Him that lives in us. But Brother Garrett, we ought to be one because of those that are dying all around us. The Word of God teaches us that men and women are dead in trespasses and sin without Christ. And beloved, they're dying all around us and looking for Christ in this world. You and I are that reflection of Him. We ought to be one because of Him that lives in us. We ought to be one because of those that are dying all around us. And then we ought to be one because unity and this oneness glorifies God. That's the reason we ought to pray for it and work towards it. The Bible said in verse 22, and the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them. You know, you've heard it said, and there's an Old Testament scripture. If I would have thought of it, I would have looked it up. But it talks about my glory, well, I will not give to another. Or I'm pretty sure that's worded pretty close like that. But right here, Jesus said now that he's given his glory to his children. Is that right or is that wrong? I believe the Holy Ghost of God lives in you and I, that we can bring glory to God. And I believe oneness in the body of Christ brings glory to God. I tell you, I can't say it enough. Brother Brian has mentioned it, I know, in Sunday school. And he's mentioned the meetings that we have here with our deacons and our treasurer and get together and meet once a month. And he's mentioned this before, and I think it's worthy of repeating. I may not say it exactly like him, but we get our heads together, and we're looking for one thing. We're looking for God's way. We're not looking for the preacher's way. We're not looking for any individual's way. And we've seen one another yield to one another because maybe that's a better idea. I think the way you've said it, Brother Brian. And listen, that's the way it ought to be. That's the way God planned it in the home. Yes, the man is the head of the home. Yes, he is. But a man that won't discuss some things with his wife, I want to check him out. Say amen. They need to run an MRI, see if there's anything between his ears. Help me, amen. Because that help me, God give her to us, amen. Help us along the way. And I believe with all my heart that we need to work and strive for that oneness. You say, preacher, you said it's an element that's precious. Yes, I did. I said that on purpose. Let me show you why. Turn in your Bible to Psalm 133 and verse number 1. Right here is what Jesus is praying for in John 17. It's an example right here in Psalms of what Jesus is praying for in John 17. It's the Song of Degrees of David. He said, behold, in other words, look and see how good and how pleasant. Let me just say this to you tonight. Many of you all have been around a lot longer than I have. And some in this room are young on the journey. But I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing more beautiful than God's people like that. And I don't know of anything on this planet that's uglier than God's people like that. How many will say amen to what I just said? Now we need to ask ourselves this question. Did God pray, did Jesus pray for like that? Or did he pray for like that? No, sir. I'm telling you tonight. It's precious. It's precious to be able to, there are not many pastors that can say they've been in one place for 5 years and have never dreaded studying and praying and preparing and coming to the pulpit to preach the Word of God. Never dreaded going, because there's just so many turmoils in this world. Are you listening to me? And God said, I'm not praying for turmoil. I'm praying for unity, because it's beautiful. It's precious. That's what the Bible said. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You say, preacher, what did he say? Look here. He said it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. You know, you read after some of these commentators, and you'd be better off not to. Some of these commentators, they'll say, well, now what that's talking about, that ran down to the top, because there ain't no way they had poured enough on there to run down to the bottom. Well, somebody tell me how you pour something there and cause it to stop right there, number one. And somebody also tell me why you'd want to mess up an illustration, because what God pours out in the anointing, listen, he wants it on the toe just like he does on the head. He wants, listen, there's no big eyes and little U's. The toe can't say to the eye, I don't need you, or the ear to the mouth, I don't need you. We're a body. And God said it's precious. He poured out that ointment on Aaron, and it runs down the beard. It gives off a sweet savor. Say amen. Watch this. And went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. The composition of this holy anointing oil, you can find it in Exodus chapter 30, verse 23, sweet cinnamon, sweet calamus. I don't know how for sure you pronounce that, the cassia lignea, and olive oil. The odor must have been very agreeable, and it serves here as a metaphor to point out the exquisite excellence of brotherly love. There's no substitute for it. You know what? You remember over there where Mary broke that box of ointment and anointed the feet of Jesus. You remember that? Some things just ain't changed. You know what they said? Why was this wasted? Why wasn't this sold and given to the poor? You know what the world says about you and I? We're wasting our time. You read that Bible. You pray. You go to church. I'm going to tell you something right now. Every time we get to see one saved, thank God Almighty, God said you ain't wasting your time. You didn't make a difference in time. You made a difference in eternity. Amen? For somebody, because somebody prayed for them, and somebody helped them to see. I wonder tonight, Brother Ralph, just think about this. I had four grandsons saved this summer. I wonder tonight, Brother Ralph, if my grandsons had ever been to this church and heard me and you at odds with each other around the corner, around there somewhere, in the office, or in a call. I wonder if they'd have wanted anything that you or I either one, God. Think about that tonight. You say, preacher, you can't put that on us. I didn't. God did. That's how important and how precious unity is and pleasant in the eyes of God. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, we're not perfect. No, we're not. But I tell you what, if we pray like Jesus prayed, just come say, Lord, teach us to pray. Let me ask you something. When's the last time you prayed like that for the church? Brother Steve, you did a great job tonight in the prayer request, because when you requested prayer for the other churches, Bible Way of all churches in Kingsport knows what it is to be without a pastor, knows what the struggle is and how we ought to pray that God will hold them together and God will help them to look to Jesus. Amen. We prayed for Calvary. You remember that? Over and over and over, and it just seemed like time went on and on and on before they got Brother Eddie. Then Brother Eddie passed away, that's the only church I've ever seen in my life, honestly. Just go right on. They just like this church, they have confidence in their deacons, and they looking for God's mind and God's will, and they don't want to get ahead of God, they don't want to get behind God, they just want to go with God. And I think it's precious tonight in the eyes of God. The element that's precious, this precious ointment. Hebrews 13:1 said, let brotherly love continue. It ran down upon the beard. It was poured upon the head of Aaron so profusely as to run down upon his garments. It's customary in the East to pour out the oil on the head so profusely that it would reach every limb. And I think that's what God wants to do in the church. He doesn't want anybody to be left out. He doesn't see big shots, amen. He just sees his youngins, a bunch of sheep. And he wants every one of them, amen, to get in on that. And so there's a prayer that's precious, the element of prayer that's precious. The dew of Hermon. Hermon is a mountain that reaches up 10,000 feet. But it starts just above sea level. The snow and the ravines, the sun shines by day, and the dew falls by night, and it comes down from above. You know something tonight? You really see the evidence of the dew on the grass, but you can't see that dew coming down. You can't see that dew forming. How many's glad for the Holy Spirit tonight? You know what the world needs to see? They just need to see the evidence that he's come down. in our lives. Say amen. And help us tonight that we'd be like him. Like him. Well, I thought for sure I'd get finished tonight. But I'm going to break it off right there because I don't even want to start on